News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I haven't told you yet, so I'm going to tell you now about my folks out there at Otter Creek Farm. So yeah, as it turns out, one of our listeners, a corporate entity, wants to go out and see Otter Creek tomorrow. I just put them in touch. I'll probably go out there with them just to see it. But they want to see it for a corporate retreat, maybe do an employee appreciation day. They want to check out the facilities because they hear about it on Right Side Radio. Well, Otter Creek Farm is everything that I've been saying it is. Check out their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com. Wow. I mean, I looked at it again this morning, and the photographs just make me pine for being outdoors and getting over there. But the facilities, the hard stand facilities, are incredible. It's such a quality spot that it's become more than just a wing shooting destination where you can go hunt pheasant and quail. They've got chefs, they've got facilities, they've got grounds. All of it's so well done that people go out there and do wedding events. They've got corporate retreats, like I said a moment ago. All of this stuff. They've been featured in Garden and Gun magazine. Yeah, man, this place is so cool, and it's right here in North Alabama. Otter Creek Farm. Their website is ottercreekfarmstead.com. Check them out, ottercreekfarmstead.com. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, number two on the triple dipper for the day. You know, I did the first section on the whole January 6th stuff, and I may even come back to that because I had so much material, but I had the opportunity at the last minute to go ahead and add Congressman Mo Brooks to the show. So I set aside a whole bunch of the paper that I had printed out and highlighted and gotten ready. That's okay. Congressman Brooks brought some color commentary to it that was, you know, bar none. And you heard some of the callers thereafter. And I think the callers that called in right after we had that discussion about January 6th and before we went to the phone with Congressman Brooks, you could hear some of the frustration, the anger. It's out there, by the way. And I got liberals trolling me right now on Twitter. I mean, literally just a moment ago. How dare we not think this was an attempt to overthrow government as we know it? How dare we challenge their narrative that it was an insurrection? Well, folks, I'm just telling you, it wasn't. It was bad, though. It was bad, and I will not minimize that. It was a violation of the laws, and those people I'd be put in jail who broke the laws, but do not try to create more in your punditry and your politicalization than what it really was. Now, okay, I didn't mean to opine that much about that. That was number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two for today's show, I just kind of euphemistically called it Build a Bear. How about we build a governor? So my point there, and by the way, anybody remember that? Hey, Copper, grab the mic.
Yeah.
Did you have Build a Bear when you were a kid?
Oh, yes. Those were some great birthday parties.
There are money pits. True. They were money pits for parents. You couldn't walk in. I hated going in the mall like, oh, Daddy, the Build-A-Bear store. Oh, crap, the Build-A-Bear store. But so you had one yourself?
Yes, I did.
Well, and rightfully so. And they were pretty cool, by the way, I will admit. So my daughter had the Build-A-Bear, and she's probably listening right now, Caitlin. I love you, but that was a money pit for your mommy and daddy, just so you know. That being said, here's my point. I just threw that title out there kind of tongue-in-cheek. Build a bear, build a governor. Build a bear, you go in, you add things you like, you dress it the way you like, you make it what you want it to be, and then it goes home with you that way, all right? The thing about governors, and my point in that is, a governor, what you get when they arrive in office has been built long before they got there. You hear what I'm saying? So they can have the very cool stump speech and the really flashy ads on TV and the slick mailers that arrive in your mailbox. But who are they? And you know, there's... I had this old rule in backpacking. In fact, I used to say it all the time. In fact, my family even knows it. If I said, what's the rule? They could say, you can take off what you don't need, but you can't put on what you don't have. And that was my rule for backpacking and going to the field in the military. You can take off what you don't need, but you can't put on what you don't have. Meaning, think it through, be ready. Better to have more than what you need than to not have enough, okay? Because once you get out there and the snow starts falling, it's too late to wonder whether you packed your gloves. Well, let's talk about that in terms of character. What kind of person is arriving at the office? What kind of person is actually arriving at the office of governor in this case I'm talking about? Well, I mean, we've got some folks in there right now not in the office, I mean, in the race right now. And Lou Burdette, you just heard, I really wanted to hear about the person as much as anything. And I think it's important, folks, that we have to do that. We have to look at the person. We have to look at who they are. I used to have some of my, you know, liberal trolls would take issue with the fact that my faith was a part of my campaigning or my legislating when I was in the state Senate. You can't do that. Separation church and state. And my point was, you elected Phil Williams, and I campaigned on this. You knew who I was before I got there. So, yes, I vote pro-life. Yes, I am not afraid to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I'm not afraid to quote scripture while I'm giving a debate speech or debating a bill. All those things were instilled in me well before I ever got in the Senate. They don't just leave me. Well, the same is true for anybody who runs for governor. And leadership is a big, big deal. So, you know, a few years ago, I've got to get back to reading more. I used to read prolifically, like I, you know, got a personal library at home. But the reality is, I've got to start making myself sit down and just reading some more. One of the books, though, that I picked up years ago, and I've kept it because it was so good. Now he's taken a bit of a hit in the wake of, well, in the wake of January 6th, to be honest. But Rudy Giuliani. Remember when Rudy was mayor of New York? He was mayor when 9/11 happened. Can you imagine if de Blasio had been mayor when 9/11 happened? Good Lord. Well, the way that Giuliani handled things is the way that he handled things got him sort of the nickname of America's mayor. And I picked up his book. His book is just called Leadership. That was the title, Leadership, by Rudolph Giuliani. And he had a number of things in this book that were so good that I began underlining them. And I picked it up off the shelf today because as I was thinking about today doing the whole build a governor thing, I realized that I had a book on the shelf that spoke to a lot of the things I was talking about. Rudy talks about in one particular place, he's talking about some of the things that shaped him because shaping the person is what matters when you get to the point of their policies and their ability to lead the office. He talks about on one page, in fact, I'm looking at page 52 right now in his book. I had it underlined and tabbed. He says that basically he found that preparation was so key. He learned from his mentors earlier on, don't walk into a situation and figure it out as you go, which makes common sense, sounds like common sense, but not everybody does it. Thank you very much. And he says as his own career progressed, he said, I realized that preparation, thus eliminating the need to make assumptions, was the single most important key to success, no matter what the field. Leaders may possess brilliance, extraordinary vision, fate, even luck. Those help, but no one, no matter how gifted, can perform without careful preparation, thoughtful experiment, and determined follow-through. Meaning he totally gets what I'm saying. Preparing in advance for the person and for the policies are what matters. So build a bear, build a governor. Copper, what did you just say there on the board? Grab the mic. What are you saying to me right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we're building a governor, do we get to dress them in pink overalls like we did with our bears?
I want to see the campaign video of the candidate who's wearing pink overalls. I'm pretty sure they won't get elected. They might gain a following, but I'm going to say they won't get elected.
Maybe in California they would.
Well, there may be some places, even in Alabama, that would be what's called a viral video at that point. Okay. All right. Moving back to my topic, though. Thank you for the distraction on the pink overalls. I'm totally having to regain my composure now. So I picked up this thing this morning, and I'll talk about it here briefly. As I was going through the thought, I didn't pull a bunch of paper, but I grabbed this one. Aside from Rudy's book, and knowing that I was going to interview Lou Burdette, I also found this excerpt from an essay that was written by Peggy Noonan. Some of y'all are familiar with Peggy Noonan. She's been a career columnist, New York Times, I believe. Anyway, she wrote a piece about Ronald Reagan, and it was like spot on with what I'm talking about. She starts off with this. You ready? In a president, character is everything. Now, keep in mind, I'm talking about presidents here. But a president is the executive of the United States, whereas a governor is the executive of the state. I'm equating that to the same thing. As you build Imagine this. Every time you hear the word president in what I'm about to read with Peggy Noonan, imagine that was governor. In a president or governor, character is everything. A president or governor doesn't have to be brilliant. Harry Truman wasn't brilliant, but he helped save Western Europe from Stalin. He doesn't have to be clever. You can hire clever. White Houses are always full of quick-witted people and with ready advice on how to flip a senator or implement a strategy. You can hire pragmatic, and you can buy and bring in policy wonks. But you can't buy courage and decency. You can't rent a strong moral sense. A president must bring those things with him. And it says, but a vision is worth little if a president doesn't have the character, the courage, and the heart to see it through. Wow. I mean, that's like spot on with what I've been saying. Reagan had the vision, she said. At the core of Reagan's character was courage, a courage that was simply natural to him, a courage that was ultimately contagious. And when people say President Reagan brought back our spirit and our sense of optimism, I think what they're saying in part is the whole country caught his courage. Y'all, that's what I so desperately want to see in our White House again, but I want to see that in our state capitol. I want to see someone who's a God-fearing gunslinger. I want to see someone who has got an optimistic view of our state, who loves who we are as a people, who has a contagious level of courage that kind of flows out, and who is willing to say, we're going to do that again because it's right, but we're not going to do that again because it's wrong. I don't care who says so. I'm looking for that person who will say, the tax dollars of the state belong to the people. We're going to spend them with fiscal accountability, and we're going to do some things to get us out of number 50 in education. I want to see someone who comes to the office with the level of, you know, intestinal fortitude to fight on to the objective, even if it becomes a fight. And I'll be honest with you, I have watched it close hand in Montgomery. I have watched it. The office of governor eats people. I'm not kidding when I say that. I have watched it eat people. Robert Bentley seemed like a good man, and that office ate him alive. Don Siegelman, Democrat, but the office got away from him. And then you have issues related to others. Guy Hunt, just a good guy from over in Holly Pond, and that office ate him alive. Bob Riley is really the only one in recent history who has survived a full level of terms in the governor's office with everything in his name intact. Now, I'm not saying Kay Ivey hasn't, but she's not finished yet. And I don't mean she's going to go down that road. All I'm saying is, of past governors, Bob Riley's the only one who has walked out with everything in his name intact. I mean, unless you're a liberal, they hated him. All that to say, what happens before you get to the office is what determines who you are in the office. We've got to look for the person before we look for the candidate. We got to look for the policies before we look at the personality. So important. All right, folks, listen, we're going to go to a short break right now. Come back and sort of wrap some of that up. When we get to the top of the hour, stand by, because it's going to be the Grand Council with myself, Dale Jackson, and our buddy Jeff Poore, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.